From Knockadoon to Ardmore, so much to do and see. Our resident historian is back with us again this week. Mike Brooks, you're very, very welcome to the programme. Thanks very much for coming in to us.
Thanks very much, Noel. Good morning to everybody again.
No, this week, one moment, Mike, this week we're taking a virtual trip to Killer.
We have to do Killer because
we have to do Killer.
My mother-in-law was Hetty O'Mahony, and she was Hetty Murphy from Out in Killer, and very proud Killer woman she
is.
And she said, "I'll kill you if you don't mention Killer."
Yeah, we have to do Killer.
We have to do Killer.
Killer, I suppose, is one of the villages I suppose that is so familiar to us because an awful lot of us will say gravitate towards Middleton, towards Cork, etc., etc. We pass Killer each and every day, and again, I suppose we all have such fond memories of Killer.
We do, and you're dead right, Noel, because you know the way I suppose so many people are working Little Island. Out, we'll say, Ring Skiddyway and all that kind of stuff in Cork. And you just drive through the village and you don't think about it. And this is where kind of we said we'd do something with Killer.
Yes.
There is a lot to do with Killer, in fairness to it, because the we'll start off now. Again, for myself, Noel, I was, we'll say, on the, there was a Killer Inch website. I got a lot from that.
Yes.
I have the book here in my hand, Killer Parish Throughout the Ages, a Bible. Of the size of it here, you can see it here as well.
Yeah, it's a thick publication, a couple of hundred pages in it, I suppose. Yeah.
And it was done by the historical group of Killer, in fairness.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What they have, the amount of information that's in that, and I was going through that and writing out lots of bits and pieces from that as well. Again, like we said, Clashmore, we were talking before in different places, you know, Irish names and all that. But Killer, Irish, Kill La. And what Kill is church, you know, so Kill, Kilkenny, Kildare is the...
Yeah, Kill would be the church.
Is a church, so it's always Kill. But the La bit, or the Kill A bit, there's a few names. La, and we'll say what it was there was a Church of La, Lay, and better known in Cornwall and Brittany. She was... She was a saint, but what I'm going to say now, there was two killers. So there's one in Offaly and there's one here in outside Yall here.
And there's one, I think, in Townland of Killer in Middleton.
Oh, is there a Killer?
Yeah. So there North Middleton, I think.
They do is they're kind of mixing up both as well. Places, maybe, I suppose, mainly with the Offaly one and the Cork one, there's a bit of it as well, because I don't know if it's this Saint Lay, who's better known in Cornwall, I'm not sure. That was in one of the websites I came across, but I suppose through the Killer Parish Church, or the Killer Parish, they said that there's another name for it, was the Grey Church. Killer is the Grey Church.
Oh, yeah.
But the main one, I think, which I'm after getting out of it, was the Church of Aid, and which is Hugh, is it Aid?
Aid. Yeah.
So Kill Aid, and it was Hugh, the Church of Hugh, and it was said to be established, the church here, we're the site of the Protestant church is today in Killer, the old cemetery there, the old graveyard. And what it also said was possibly a nunnery, but again, I think they're getting the nunnery bit mixed up with the Killer, the saint, in Offaly. So I think there's mixing up here a bit. Couldn't get to the end of it, so hopefully the locals will know better.
Yes.
But what it says was, in pre-Christian times, Killer was a stronghold of the O'Glassons clan. Gleasons.
Oh, Gleasons, yeah.
Good morning, Ger.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Oh, and they're still there.
I'm stuck with him. He's my neighbour now at the moment. So.
Yeah.
So it's, and we'll say the Gleason clan, we'll say, now again, this is probably pre-Norman times and back in the old ages. Their area kind of included Ballymacody, Yall, Mogheely, Arda. So it was a big kind of area in around, the clans. And, it was said that St. Finbarr's monks, a bit like, we'll say, Lismore, the monks there, they spread their word around the place and they try to get more kind of disciples in. They said St. Finbarr's monks introduced themselves to the Gleason chief, and not alone were they received favourably, but one of the Gleason clan joined the ranks, who was Aid O'Glasson. And there's still Glasson House, and there's a few more. So there's still,
and of course, the area Ballyglashan Killer, which would be a derivative of that as well.
I'm saying Glasson, but it is Glashan. And so Aid O'Glashan, who's Hugh Gleason, joined, we'll say, with St. Finbarr's monks, and he set up then the church where the Protestant will say graveyard is today.
Yes. You
know, the Protestant church
is today. But
what they said was, with the arrival of the Normans, our good Norman friends, the Gleasons lost their lands to the Fitzgeralds. And then when the Fitzgeralds kind of got settled in a small bit into the whole area, the Capels obtained grants of land at Killa, and they lived there for hundreds of years. No, they did live there for hundreds of years. So we know the Capels will say, the Capels now Supple, so all Morning Ard, all the Shane,
and all the Supples,
and they were all there. But the first one was Philip de Capel, arrived in Ireland with Robert Fitzstephen, who's Strongbow. You know, Strongbow's army. So obviously he came over with Raymond Le Gros, so he would have known, because he was there at the same time. De Capel was one side of the aisle, and Raymond Le Gros was at the other side,
the
Michael area as well. Obviously they were the first band of Norman knights around 1170. That's when, that's when, you know, the Supples actually came, was around 1170.
Yes.
So they what they said was the Capels first established themselves on the land near Killa in 1172, later to become Ahado Estate.
Ahado House,
And it says Sir Arthur de Capel Brooke later built a castled mansion in 1836, and he built this on the site of the 18th century house, which then was built on top of the old castle. So it was all done. Does that survive today, Noel? I don't know.
Tell the truth now. Maybe again somebody might enlighten us on that one there.
I think the whole kind of I tried to look for it, and it's not coming up. What I kind of got from, I think from the book, they said was probably a bit of the house was used, and now it's, you know, the way it's a smaller house.
It's incorporated.
That's the way I.
There's very little remains of the original.
Absolutely, and you can't even see it anywhere. That's I was trying to look for it again on maps and things like that, and I couldn't get. I know where it is. Sorry, on the maps, but from Google Earth and all that, you couldn't find it anyway. That's for sure. But it's just north of Glenbower Wood. So Arda would say the whole area.
That would be Arda.
Glenbower Wood, and we'd say getting onto Glenbower Wood gets its name from Glenbower. Which are the Bodhar, Glenbodhar, or the English is deafening wood from the noise of the River Desour.
The river Desour comes in,
And as the River Desour rushes down through the valley, it makes this, you know, loud noise, and that's what it was called, deafening wood. The wood remained in the same ownership by the Capel family from 1182 to 1933. Believe it or not, 751 years they had
it in
the same family.
My goodness.
What they said was, it was Arthur de Capel Brooke who in the 1830s built the present road. Now think of the wood as we know it today.
Yeah, the wood road is because
the wood road. And it says what in 1830s built the present road and bridges through the wood. It is said that Arthur was so pleased with the work done in the wood when it was completed in kind of April that he invited the villagers from the village on the first Sunday of May to have a walk around, and he played music and he gave them food. And what was that, we think, is the beginning of the May Sunday.
And of course, again, as it's possible, from a, dare I say it, from a personal nature, like we all have very fond memories of Daisy pressing up in the woods, in Killer Woods.
Are you doing more than Daisy pressing, I'll tell you?
That's a matter of opinion. But again, as I say, like, you know, everybody is familiar with Glenbower, the May Sunday. As you call it, like so many happy memories, I suppose.
Like if you think of it, was all like music was played up there and all that as well. People brought food up there, had little picnics and all that.
Yeah.
So it was like, and you, I know we spoke about this before, Noel, and you're probably right as well. Like it probably was pagans as well back in the olden days. This would have been a sacred wood. We know with the river, the noise of the river and all that. I could well imagine that it would have been a pagan walk as well for a lot. Back in the old ages as well, anyway. So,
and a lot of those pagans, they had their festivals. They geared their festivals around nature, around sunrise, the equinoxes, etc. So it would have been some kind of derivative from that, I would imagine.
I would say as well, and like oak wood is very sacred to the pagan ceremonies as well. Yeah. Like, so.
And May Day is celebrated practically all over the world, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah. And like in theory, it's the start of the summer. You know the way
that's, it is. Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the way we have. Mm-hmm. I know there's what they call a meteor. The weather don't use it. They use the following, isn't it, June that they
that's
use.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
But we all say May Sunday is the start of the summer anyway. Yeah. So. Mm. But do you remember the lake, Noel? A lot of young people have said.
Yeah, I do. But the lake, I think, was drained. It wasn't it drained up? And it was worried about the. I think the powers of the council were worried about the very fact the lake was so big that it might break its banks and flood kill it.
What happened was, we'll say, and which is a pity, really, because what happened, we'll say, originally was Glenbower Wood Lake. Now, again, I was saying it was a good Glenbower, it was a good Killer Inch website. There's a lovely Glenbower Wood website, and it's really nice, actually. I lot of information from this as well. Mm. And what they were saying was the lake, which is no more, obviously enough as we know it, was approximately 6 to 7 acres before the dam was breached in 1989.
So Was it 1989?
But what it was, which I didn't know, was they said the dam was constructed in the 1860s, and the original purpose was to provide a head of water to drive the mill.
Or the old mill and the cap. Yeah, the car park.
So obviously, for me then, that means there must have been kind of like wooden chutes from the dam all the way down
I would imagine, down the side. Yeah, because that's the way they were constructed.
Well, it would, and
just
like,
to get a volume of water to drive the wheel, yeah.
And what it is like, if everybody thinks about the river, you know the way the mill wheel things, when the mill wheel was being pushed by a river, it's not very effective. But what they said was top-fed mills. So the water is coming from the top, fed from the top, on top of it.
On top, yeah.
Driving the mill wheel around, and at that stage, they were very effective.
And you had to get a good... You had to get the height of the wheel.
You had to get the height
of the wheel, at least, anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. And you get the height of the wheel, and I suppose coming from the dam...
And of course, it makes sense too, because the water was, you were using gravity as well.
You were, and it was coming down at a fair speed as well. And you don't need too much water to turn the wheel, because there's obviously lots of cogs and things like that inside there.
It's a gear down,
Once you have a lot of kind of water going over it. So yeah, it'd been interesting though, just to see, you know, where was the chute that left the dam all the way down as well to the to the mill down below, to the corn mill. And just, we'll say, I suppose, for ourselves, because the River du Sour obviously comes down. This joins the Wumina River then.
Wumina, yeah, yeah.
And then this all flows out through Pilmore Beach, you know the way. Yeah. So any water from there comes out through Pilmore Beach. Come here, Noel, you just mentioned there. I think, first of all, I think the lake should be put back. Any engineer going to any university or college in his first year or her first year would be able to tell you how to make a dam. You know the way the council come along saying, "Oh, this can't be done because it can be easily put back. It'd be fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. Because, like, I never saw a beaver adhering to the rules of health and safety. I never did in my life. So like,
it wouldn't cost much shallow lake. No, there's no problems with shallow lakes. Like, geez, you have the Hoover Dam over in America. Look at the size of that thing. And we can't do it. Like, if it was
something simple, could be done.
You could do a 4 foot lake. You know the way.
That's
you could
all
do
you could
a
do. Yeah,
foot
yeah,
lake
yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah,
you know the way. Yeah. It's be a very simple one. But it's always no insurance. You know what I mean?
Oh, so look. I often think we've gone too politically correct, haven't we?
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
but. We mentioned there about the dam was built, and it was built for Killa Corn Mill.
Yes.
So it's still there, you know, way behind it's the car park, the hatch. We'll come on to it. And Killa Corn Mill, built around 1790, so in the 1700s, and it was powered by the water mill, as we said.
Yes.
The former corn mill is an imposing feature of the town and retains much of its original form and structure. But obviously it's in a ruin, you know, it's a total ruin at this stage, and we can still see it.
Yes.
It serves, and it's a good thing, like, it serves as a reminder of the industrial past of Killa.
Of course,
Which is nice. And it said the mill may have been served, we'll say the mill also has served as a bleach mill. Now, that the River du Sour is renowned for its bleaching properties, never know that. And in the 19th century, in the 19th century, but it ceased operations around 1942. So it went on for a long time, Noel.
I think that originally when Merrill Dow...
That's right.
...came, and indeed when they'd done a very, very extensive evaluation of the geographical properties of the area.
Yeah.
And they came up with it precisely that reason. That's the same thing, that the water coming down to the River de Sour was one of the purest they ever found.
Go away out of it.
Apparently. And that's one of the main reasons why they wanted to set up. Build. You know, jeez, but look, as we all know,
absolutely. You
know, it was another story.
Unfortunately, Merle Dow, especially in Canada and other places, didn't have a good name because there was a lot of.
We
still have our beach outside. You know, you don't know.
We don't know. It's a matter of. Exactly. Listen, it's like everything else, just falling against us, I suppose.
It'd be great to have any employment is fantastic.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to see the old mill, just drive into the car park of
the old hatch, and you'll see the big imposing building there.
And you can see it from the road as well as you're coming in anyway as well, just beside the bridge as well. As you're crossing over the bridge, you can see the back of it as well.
Yeah. I think in the 80s and the 90s, or in the 70s and the 80s, there was a firm there doing fitted kitchens.
I have nothing on them you're dead right. Who's that? Was he living in Yall or afterwards then as well? But anyway, we'll definitely find out that as well anyway. We're in the car park of the old thatch, so we might as well go into the old thatch for a point.
We'll have one.
But what I said here was the actual as a thatched pub, because you know every single town has the oldest pub in Ireland, and it's probably true. It's probably one of the oldest thatched pubs in Ireland. Mm. Still operating because it was operating since 1650.
Not too many public houses can boast that. Like.
And I'll tell you something, who was around in 1650 was our good friend Oliver Cromwell.
Oh, sure, probably hit a pint or two there. Ale or whatever they were drinking at the time, mead or ale.
He probably came out and cut the ribbon and said, you know, I now open the old thatch, or probably the new thatch, I suppose back then it was called the new thatch pub. And now off to Connacht or Hell or Connacht with the lot of you, you know the way. Because that was 1650, and Oliver Cromwell would have been in Yall
at the time
up to April 1650 as well. He would have been here as well. So a long time for the old thatch, fair dues to him.
My goodness, huh?
And it says here like it was owned and run by the same family for over 300 years.
My goodness.
Yeah. So yeah. I like to do cables.
Exactly. Yeah.
The pub was renovated in 1962, keeping with the thatched roof, and inside the ceiling is made from Irish willow twig.
It's lovely. You cannot but stare up at the ceiling in the old thatch and say, my goodness, that's some work of art.
It's brilliant, and it's so tight together and all that. And what it says was it gives a warm overall effect, and it does. It's lovely inside the thatch.
Oh, it's cosy.
We get sponsorship from the
we get a meal now. You never know.
But we're on to Killam, because we're just out of the car park here, and we're just on to Killam Main Street, right? Killam Main Street, as we know it, did not exist in the kind of before the 1700s,
right?
As we know it.
Yeah.
So if you think of it, the Yall to Killam road that everybody gets onto, that did not exist either. So the Cork Hill, Cork Lane, you carry along the top there past the rugby club and you went to Killa. That was the road to Killa. The old road to Killa was the top road, we'll call it.
The roundabout at the very top of the, when you go over the bypass there.
Clashadunna.
That was the old road to Killa. The old road to Cork.
To Cork. And, you know, not in too far distant times either, because, and I read somewhere where they said about the road to from Yall to Killa when they made it, and I just can't think of it now at the moment, and I'll find that again. If I had to kind of do a guess, because 1819 was the new road from Yall to Tallow was built.
Yeah,
I reckon it was around the same time. And I reckon it was the early 1800s.
There must have been something, because when you would say come into Killa and you head up to Mogheely, it's the Cork Road.
Yeah. And because so what you did
that
was...
That must have been the old Cork Road somewhere around there,
it was, because you're dead right, because what happened was you came into Killa, because you remember, you know, you come into Killa, we have to turn there just at where the church is, go over the bridge. That road was not there at all. So you came, you came from Yall, the top, the Clashadunna Road, we'll call it now here.
Yes.
Heading to Killa, it's still there.
Straight past the church, past the thatch.
Absolutely, you went straight. And if you look at the map as well, you can see that's a straight road, you know the way.
Yes.
And then it just came down a small bit over the bridge, where the thatch was over the bridge, and then turned again. It turned again. Now think of it, all the houses weren't there either.
Yeah, so there was just probably a turn there up
the, and then it went up the Cork Road, which is the Ballyquirk Road, is it?
Yeah,
Heading to Mogheely.
Into Mogheely,
So, and we all know it as well, because anybody that's, you know, especially coming home at 5 o'clock from the Cork direction, we all head off at the 2 mile bridge or the 2 mile inn and to skip Castlemarter because nobody wants to be stuck for 4 hours in Castlemarter.
And possibly the road continued down, which up there through, which the back row of Mogheely through the creamery there. That was the old Cork,
Cork Road.
Up by the 2 mile inn, I suppose.
Absolutely, 100%. That was the old Cork Road.
My goodness. Yeah.
So it was and it's still there, you know. We still use it.
Exactly. Missing with the wheel turns, we all use it now.
And it was a so the main road, as I said, from Killa to Cork was the Ballyquirk Road to Mogheely. So it came across the bridge, and then you turned slightly, and you went up that way to Mogheely and the back road, which is we still use it.
Yes.
And what it says at the time, we'll say this time, the main street as we know it was not there. But this was the area, it was called the Gardens, and they called it because all there was little cottages.
And it was a lot of the estates are called Killer Gardens. There's actually,
That was the old name for it as
well. That was the old Killer Gardens.
And what it says was an opening was made through the gardens to give us Killer Main Street. And everything was developed around this.
Yeah, because there was an old estate of houses there, and they were called, this correct address for them was Killer Gardens. But when the new place, the new estate was built there, actually, as you go up just opposite the graveyard there, Killer Gardens.
That's great. I'm delighted. Amazing,
isn't it?
And what they actually said was most of the village, because a lot of these things were like planned, like they, okay, we're going to do it road here, this is the way we're going to do it. And then what they said was most of the village then was built by the De Cablebrook family and more by the Davis family.
Yes.
And so we'll go on to, we're after doing, we'll say the Cablebrooks. So we'll go on to, is it Drumdia House. And Drumdia House, you'll actually know it because anybody coming from the all direction to Killa, you can see
very,
there.
Very imposing house.
Beautiful.
Very, very imposing
recently
house.
Recently done up as well.
Yeah, and there's fantastic granite and limestone entrance onto it. It's very imposing, you can't miss it.
It's beautiful because every time you can see it, but it's great to see that it has been done up as well.
It's been fantastic, fantastic.
So well done to the people who own that now as well, fair juicy. The house itself, not too old, it's 1833, and it was built by Roger Green Davis.
Yes.
And he built himself a beautiful Georgian mansion with Doric columns, stonework, which you just said it.
Yes.
Cut by Italian craftsmen.
That was no mean achievement.
But funny enough, like the Davises actually came to Ireland as agents for the De Cablebrook family.
Oh yes.
And they started buying up a bit of land themselves, so became kind of intermediate landlords, I suppose. He wanted to have a grand arched entrance from Killa's main street. You know, the way the big...
because there is actually, and he's bang on, because there is, as you go up past the old thatch there, and
up
you
the hill
go
a bit.
There's an entrance there on the left hand
side, you're dead,
and
right.
You can drive up two imposing gates, and you drive up, wind all the way up through and into the house itself. Fantastic.
I hope they don't mind me. I'm going to do it anyway.
But
I think his actual plans was to have a huge gate at Killa leading in. But I think when
there is a gate there actually. There is a gate.